Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today. We're glad you found the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. This is Darren Hayes. Today's show, we have a great one. We have Dak Quinn, plastic shell helmets, and the Black Cyclone story coming right up. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Well, hello again, my football friends, and we're glad you could join us on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. I'm Darren Hayes from PigskinDispatch.com, and today's episode, we are going to go over events and people from September 25th in football history. Let's get right at it. September 25th, 1904. Charles the Black Cyclone Fallis becomes the first African-American player to play professional football and get paid. A team from Shelby, Ohio, known as the Shelby Blues of the Ohio League, one of the predecessors of the NFL, signed Mr. Fallis under contract on September 15, 1904, for that season. Charles showed up on the roster of the Blues for the 1902 and 1903 seasons, but it is unclear if he was paid for those games because there were some amateur players involved in the Shelby Blues. But 1904 with the contract, his first game of the 1904 season, according to an article in the Shelby Daily Globe, took place on September 25th, 1904, against the Marion Athletic Club. Fallis, per 1980 article in the PFRA's Coffin Corner magazine, led Shelby to a 29-0 victory over the rival Marion and headlined it by his 83-yard long touchdown run. Charles Fallis was reported to be 6 foot tall and weighed nearly 200 pounds, and his strength and speed at that size made him a very difficult runner for the opposition to bring down. That same Coffin Corner article goes on to report that Fallis helped start his Wooster High School football team in 1899 when he was a junior. The first Wooster team went undefeated and held all opponents scoreless. A few years later, the Shelby Athletic Club manager, F.C. Schiffer, noticed Fallis playing at the Wooster Athletic Club, and it was shortly thereafter that the Shelby manager offered Fallis a job at a local hardware store and placed him on the football team. Charles became endeared by the Blues faithful, not only for his football prowess, but also for his kind disposition. Opposing fans and players were not so friendly to accept him on account of the color of his skin. The racial ignorance led to many instances of dirty play by opponents towards Fallis and opposing fans shouting disparaging words at him. Through it all, Fallis kept a level head and focused on the game at hand. Injuries in 1906, however, forced Charles to discontinue playing football, but he did go on to play some professional baseball for a couple seasons until his untimely death in 1910 at the age of 31 from pneumonia. Now we bring you some innovations to the football equipment, and it happened on September 25th, 1939, when Riddell introduced the shell helmet, the first helmet to use a hard plastic shell available to players. Its internal suspension strap was adopted by George S. Patton and a U.S. serviceman in World War II. Only the college and high school games adopted the plastic shells at this time. As the leather helmet era in the NFL ended at the beginning of the 1949 season, when the plastic shells were adopted to use in that league. We're hoping you're enjoying this daily podcast and enjoying PigskinDispatch.com for daily news and information on football history. And if you are, please click the subscribe button to this podcast. And also, check out some of the other great podcasts from my friends on the Sports History Network. When Football Was Football by Joe Zimba, Pigskin Pass by Joe Sigorski, The Football History Dude with Arnie Chapman, Yesterday's Sports with Mark Morthay, Football is Family with Jeremy McFarland, and The Football Addict with John Gidley. Catch all this on the Sports History Network at sportshistorynetwork.com. Now we go up the field almost 50 years in advance to September 25th, 1982, and that's when Northwestern University broke its 34-game losing streak by knocking off Northern University 31-6. The Wildcats were coached by Dennis Green at the time, and his preparation led to his Northwestern squad overcoming the longest streak in Division I football. We'll conclude today's episode talking about one of the legends of the game on their birthday, a Hall of Famer. September 25th, 1975, that's when the birth of Dot Gwynn, a former Texas A&M linebacker that played in the 1995 through the 1998 seasons at the university. Per his bio on NationalFootballFoundation.org, Dot is the only player in A&M history to lead the team in tackles for four straight seasons. His 1998 season may have been his finest, though, as he won both the Bednarik and the Lombardi Awards, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and was a unanimous first-team All-American selection. The Aggies made it to the Cotton Bowl that season, and despite falling to UCLA in the game, Dot earned the defensive MVP honors as he registered a Cotton Bowl record of 15 solo tackles. The Dallas Cowboys picked Dot Gwynn in the third round of the 1999 NFL Draft, and he played seven seasons with the team. In 2003, he became the first Vietnamese-American to become an All-Pro in the NFL. After his football playing days, he coached as an assistant on both the Cowboys and the A&M squads and hosted a radio talk show. Most recently, he gives back to the community by serving on the Fellowship for Christian Athletes and working with the San Antonio Sports Foundation, which focuses on improving playgrounds and facilities at schools. The National Football Foundation selected Dot to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2017. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with podcast network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.